Take your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. And then extracurricular activity, if y'all want to get your hymn books back out and turn to page 174. Be ready for that. We'll sing after the scripture reading. So once you find your places in your Bible in Isaiah chapter 25, let's stand together if you're physically able, of course. And we'll read verses 1 through 9 tonight. The Bible says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and true. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a place, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, and as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. And in the mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines and of lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all of the earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And this is our text verse for tonight, verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I want to preach tonight on something to the title of this song, that faith is the victory. So let's sing verse 1 and 4 together tonight.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the growing skies. Against the foe and fails below, let all your strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Victory that overcomes the world. Verse 4. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Camp. So tonight, as we go on here, faith is the victory. You know, the only thing we need to have victory over death is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God's plan, which was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. And faith in God's plan for the next world, which was to buy us as his people. And we can know that that's true because God is an omnipotent God. He's all powerful and he is strong. One of our presidents, President Dwight D. Eisenhower, once said that there are no victories at discount prices. Every victory costs somebody something. I can say our military knows that all too well. We've gone and gotten into wars and we've lost lots of young men, young women, and we've lost lots of resources. There's a price to pay for victory. Our victory that we have in Jesus Christ cost a very high price. It costs God's only begotten Son to come down to this earth, to be reviled, to be spat upon, to be killed. But he gave us the victory because he paid for our sin. That victory in God, that God allows us to share with him, was not a cheap price. God shares his victory with you and I, and he doesn't ask anything in return. It's a gift. I was talking last Saturday to a young man out soul winning, and I was trying to show him the gift, because I think he was Catholic. He said he believed in Christ, but I think he believed in works too. And so I said, I gave you that track. What if I asked you, he had a lime in his hand, I said, what if I asked you for that lime in place of that track? That track was no longer a gift. You purchase it with a lime. Folks, God gave us the gift of salvation for free, and he expects nothing back from us. If we didn't do one single good work for God, we'd still be in heaven if we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether I know it or not, or whether we live it or not, God's people are a victorious people. We are victorious. And because we are victorious people, we don't have to live defeated and discouraged lives. I see so many Christians out there living in fear, living in depression, living in oppression. Do they not realize we have the book? And if we turn to the end, it says we win. Nothing that this world can throw at me will discourage me, because I know where I'm going when I die. It makes me feel like, because there's some people out there that live in fear, they don't know Christ, or they don't know who God really is. And because we are a victorious people, like I said, we don't have to live discouraged lives. Because God has already given us the victory, we have accepted Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'll start reading there in verse 31. The Bible says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wasn't afraid of anything. He said, bring it, because I know who my Lord is. He said, I am persuaded, no death, life, angels, principalities, powers, all these things, nothing can separate us from the love of God. In verse 9, our passage just says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That was written to the Jews. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. In our day, the Messiah has already come. But he's going to come again. He's going to come again. Listen to me, church. He's going to come again. He's going to come take his bride home. We wait for Christ, but we need to wait for Christ in victory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll start reading there in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15:50, the Bible says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Let me see, I lost my spot. There we go. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, words, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We have victory, and we need to live like it. We have also have an enemy. And maybe he's coming and whispering in your ear, "Hey, guess what? In over 2,000 years, or maybe almost 2,000 years, somewhere in that area, hey, he's not coming back. And you're living this life for him in vain. He's not coming." Let me tell you, church, the devil is a liar. He's a thief. And he's a murderer. He has been since the very beginning. I might tickle some people the wrong way with this one, but I consider that old serpent, the devil, to be the first out of context preacher in the Bible. You see, he took the words of God, but he didn't take the whole context when he deceived Eve. He left some things out. You know, he'd also tried to preach to Jesus. We also left a lot of context out there too. And Jesus corrected him on that. I'm just saying, church, that the devil hates you. And he wants to kill and destroy you. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming. In fact, I think it's getting really close. I'm seeing things in the world just get wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. Just look at what's going on over there in France, okay? The wickedness over there. They put homosexuality on display. That was gross. But just look at our world. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus Christ cannot lie. And he says right here that he's going to come. Let me tell you a few reasons why I believe that faith is the victory, church. It will be real quick and it will be done. I'm going to tell you why faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory because the Lord is faithful. Faith is a victory because God has promised his people, Israel, that the Messiah would come. And he did. That same Messiah promised us that he would come to take us home. And he will. Every promise in this book, every single one, has been fulfilled. Or will be fulfilled in the future. But every single promise that we're not still waiting on has been fulfilled. God keeps his word. God is faithful. He wants us to be faithful. You know, I'm reminded of the prophet Jeremiah. And just the hardness that that man had to endure. That man just went to preach God's word to the people. And they treated him so horribly. In fact, he wrote a book of the Bible called Lamentations. He was lamenting his life. But even though he was treated terribly for just delivering God's message, he still wrote these words in the book of Lamentations. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And I'll start reading there in verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Keep moving. There it is. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Now, Jeremiah was waiting on the Messiah. But I can tell you, church, that we can take these words and say we are waiting for our Savior to come back. And we can quietly wait for the salvation of our Lord. God will provide all of our need. He will take care of us. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He'll take care of us here while we live on this earth and do His will. And then He's already preparing a home, a mansion up in heaven for me, for you, if you're saved here tonight. He will provide. The next reason I think that faith is a victory is because the Lord is sovereign. Don't think I'm getting off into some Calvinist rant here. I'm not, okay? The Lord is sovereign. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is Almighty, all-powerful God. And He's our God. He's our God. These titles of God remind me that He is in absolute control of the path. He controls the path. It may get tough sometimes, but God is the one directing our steps. Psalms 119:105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp for my feet. If I keep this out in front of me, I will see the path where I'm supposed to tread. If I lose it, I can no longer see the path, and I may get lost. In Psalms 27:14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, as I have this prayer request tonight about this work situation, I'm not worried. Because I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on Him to direct me. I know He's going to take care of me. I have no doubt. I'm just going to pray and I'm going to follow God. We know that we can wait on the Lord because He is always working in our lives. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose." And we know that the place that the Lord has prepared for us, there will be no more trials. There will be no more tribulations. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more disease. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more tears. Because those things can't be there. They can't be there. In fact, there's no comparison to be made between this wicked, sinful earth and the home that we have in heaven. Paul writes in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul was wanting to go to heaven. But Paul also said he finished his course. And while we're here, we have a course. But once we have finished our course, we get to go home. Third thing tonight, I see that faith is a victory because of the Lord's salvation. We can count on the Lord to come back, as he said, because he keeps his word. What a great salvation. Galatians, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'll start reading there in verse 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." If you're sitting in this room tonight, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are the son or daughter of God. You get joint heirship with Christ because you've believed in him. You know, here's a rabbit trail. I won't make it long. I see how God could say that. Because my righteousness is filthy rags. It's dirty. It's gross. It's wicked in God's eyes. But when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I take that perfect robe of righteousness. And I put it on, and God doesn't see Andrew Frankie anymore. God sees Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us in our passage that we will praise the Lord for his calling. We will praise the Lord for his salvation, and he will keep us saved. We will exalt his name for his marvelous saving power. The word saved, by definition, means to preserve from injury, destruction, or evil of any kind, to rescue from danger, to preserve from final and everlasting destruction, to rescue from eternal death. What God has given us through Jesus Christ is a perfect salvation. It's a complete salvation that will never fail. In Philippians 1:5, the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God has started a good work in us. He's given us salvation, and it will continue until we get home in heaven, and we've already had the entrance, so we don't need a fee anymore. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin. And ultimately, when we get to heaven, we're saved from the very presence of sin. Sin will be nowhere to be found. Glory to God. Since we have this victory, God's people need to be a rejoicing people. Do we rejoice in our great salvation day by day? Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. Church, let me tell you tonight that we don't have to wait to get to heaven to praise the name of the Lord. We can praise the name of the Lord while we're here, and then we'll get to do it even more in heaven. We need to shout from the rooftops, "Jesus saves!" We already have the victory because Jesus Christ lives. You know, I love this book. Number one in my opinion. But I love this book too. This book is full of songs of doctrine. Songs of praise to our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is a funny one, but it's true. There's more doctrine in this book than most churches out there combined. I think of a song in there. It's called Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. He may not come when we want Him to, but He'll come right on time. In Job 14:14, the Bible says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I'll just leave off tonight with a couple more verses from Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'll start in verse 28. One more page. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. The Bible says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Child of God, I want to tell you tonight, don't be discouraged. Don't let the things going on in this world cause you to tremble. Rather, keep contending for the faith. Be steadfast, unmovable, as Paul said, until the Lord comes. Don't let the enemy whisper lies to you that Christ isn't going to come back for you. Stay in the Word of God. Let the great Comforter comfort your souls. We have the victory already because the book says so. So Christian, as we go out to the rest of this week, I want us to contend for the faith. Don't worry about what the news says. God's in control. Don't worry about the wickedness that is out there. God's in control.